presence is literally surging in this place. But not only in this place, but I am within you. Do not let what is going on around you deny what I have done and how I inhabit within you. I am with you. I am in you. And greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in this world. And if you respond to my spirit, you can take a step that will move you beyond the dimension of challenge, and you will walk into victory. If you will allow my spirit to move you, it is not your flesh. It is my spirit that will lead you into victory and into peace and into wisdom, saith the Lord God Almighty.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. That's it. That's right. Let's worship him. Let's respond to his word. Hallelujah. 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 His spirit is moving, and the word of the Lord just told us that it is not our flesh, but it is his spirit. And he wants us to move further in his spirit right now. Would you just close your eyes and just lift up your hands in surrender to him? Hallelujah. There are those perhaps in this room, this is what I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. There are those that you have let your flesh talk you out of responding to God. You've let your flesh talk you out of reacting and responding to the presence of God, not only in this service, but maybe there's been a dry season that you're walking through. Maybe there's been a season of weariness or sickness, or where you felt like you're under attack of the adversary. Your family's under attack. Your mind is filled with questions, and you don't seem to have any answers, and sometimes it feels like you can't swim out of it. But I feel in the Holy Ghost that God's presence is here right now. He has stepped in, and he's here to strengthen and encourage somebody. If you need strength in your spirit right now, if you need strength in your spirit, would you just step out into an aisle or even step down towards the front of this building? It'll take a little courage. It may take a little faith, but if you're weary in your spirit, it doesn't mean you're backslidden, doesn't mean there's sin in your life, doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you, because everybody in here who's lived for God for a while has had times of weariness in your spirit. But if you're weary in your spirit, and if you find it hard to respond to the presence of God, you're struggling to respond to the presence of God, you feel a struggle to break through, if you know somebody in that situation, you might even take them by the hand and invite them. They may not even have enough faith to step out and respond even now, but if you know somebody in that situation, invite them to pray with you. Minister to one another right now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God. Clap our hands and lift our voices to him one more time. Hallelujah. 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 If you would return to your seats, but we want to stay right in this vein of the Spirit. Pastor said this morning, God set us in a vein of faith, and you can feel it surging through this service, and God's given Brother Spa a word, a message for tonight on faith. So we're going to stay right in this vein as we go into the preaching of the word, and we know that as the word goes forth, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So nothing but our faith being increased is what's going to happen here. Why don't we just stand, as we remain standing, just let's worship the Lord one more time and ask him to increase our faith once again. With his word, as Brother Spa comes, we worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Let's give him praise tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy. You are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we don't want to mess up what God is doing in this place. We don't want to change what God is doing. We just want to augment it if we can. Let's go right to his word from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 10.
Bible says this, his disciples came and they said unto Jesus, why do you speak unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. In hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, yet not understand, and by seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should hear him. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. Amen. Let's ask God to touch us now and with his word. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God that you have given us. We ask now that you would open our hearts, our understanding, God, to see into the realm what you desire, God, what you want to do tonight, I pray. In the name of Jesus, minister to every heart, God. By the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus, work in us, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm not going to go into some long, drawn-out introduction. Let me just say I grew up in the middle of corn country in Illinois, very practical way of life in a very practical situation. And so really, philosophy is not my thing. For those of you it is, that's okay, I guess, but it just doesn't do a whole lot for me. Man, I don't want to debate whether I am or not because I'm here in front of you. And if you can't figure that out, then you can go sit in the corner and try to figure it out some other way. I was in a dorm room when I was in college and they were discussing some philosophy. And I walked in and I listened for a few minutes and I said, you know what, if I hit my finger with a hammer, I'm not going to argue whether that hammer was real or not. Whether that pain. They looked at me and they said, you can leave. I left. That's okay. I was reading some years ago a book by Charles Finney. It's his Systematic Theology. And probably the first third of that book was philosophy, if you will. He went on and on trying to describe why God was who God was. And finally, about half third to a halfway through, he started to use some scripture. Well, that's not me. I want to start here. Amen. You can debate all you want about what's true and what's not, but the Bible says this is true, and I believe that, and I stand on it. And I think if you will start with this foundation, it will change your life. Amen? Amen. Now, here's the thing. We live in a physical realm, don't we? We've been taught by the scientific method from the time we're in school all the way up to believe only the things that we can perceive with our five senses or that which we can deduce from empirical evidence and distill it all together and say, okay, here's why I believe that. And I know that you are here physically because I can see you. I can look out and say, okay, these people are here and these people are not. Now, I've said physically because you may not be here even though you're here, but we'll leave that to something else. I can feel this microphone, and I can feel this pulpit, and so I can very easily assume, yes, I have a microphone in my hand, and I can also hear it coming through the PA, so I'm pretty confident it's there. You can argue all you want, but I say it's here. I can hear the singing. I could hear the worship earlier in this service just a few minutes ago, and so because I heard it, I believe in the existence of those things. On the other hand, I can't see the electricity that is running through the wires that are elsewhere in this church and running up through that speaker and the airwaves, the things happening over the airways. I can't see those things, and yet I can infer that there is some kind of an electron flow going on because the lights are on. I can't see the wind blow, and yet if I have a barometer, I can predict, well, if there's a high-pressure air mass over here and a low one over here, there's probably going to be a breeze as it goes from one place to another. Unfortunately, many Christians tend only to operate in the realm of the tangible or the realm of the physical. Now, let me repeat that. Unfortunately, many Christians tend to operate only in the realm of the physical or the realm of the tangible. And their religion consists in things that can be experienced in the physical. I'm there because I go to church and I have a church building and that's my church and that's okay, but sometimes their whole existence as a Christian wrapped up in a building or a worship service that they can hear or something that they can see or a program or a liturgy, if you will. But I want to preach tonight, it's time we get beyond just what is tangible. It's time we get beyond just what we can perceive with our eyes and hear with our ears and touch with our hands. Amen. But it is, goes beyond that. Paul said it this way, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now that's a tangible thing. It's something that you could put forward. He said, but here's what it was. It was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now that's intangible. You can't put your finger on that, can you? The Bible says the wind blows where it lists. It blows where it wants to. And you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. You can just kind of say, well, I think I feel it coming from here. He said, and here's why, that your faith, as we heard about this morning, does not rest in the wisdom of men, that tangible thing, but it rests in the power of God. I'm thankful our faith isn't in what man can do tonight. Our faith isn't in the things that we see around us, but it is in the power of an almighty God, and it's time we see beyond the things which surround us. I mean, it's not just a song we were singing just a couple minutes ago. You know how I know? Because as we begin to sing that song, the Spirit began to work. Amen. And lives begin to be touched and people begin to be changed. Amen. It's worship to an almighty God. This is not just a church service. It is an opportunity to have an encounter with a mighty God, to have an encounter with deity. It's not just a sermon that we preach, but it's what thus saith the word of the Lord. Amen. It's a living word of God that can and will do a miraculous work in our lives. Amen. If I didn't believe that, I'd put the microphone down and say, you know what? Why do we preach? Amen. But you know what? When we begin to preach the word of God, things begin to happen. Amen. God said at this point, my word goes forth. He said, it will not return void. He said, it will accomplish the thing which I please. It shall prosper unto the thing whereto I send it. Now, I don't know where all he's sending it tonight. I think it's going out kind of all over the place. Amen. But what I want to tell you is that word is going to do a work. If you will believe it in faith tonight, if you will receive it in faith, amen, God is going to work. It's time we opened our blinded eyes to what God wants to do. It's time the church took a hold of the things of God that the carnal man doesn't understand and the carnal man doesn't comprehend and through faith say, you know what? I believe in the word of God. I believe in the power of God. In fact, the Bible tells us very plainly, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We come to God, we must, what? Believe that he is. Now you can argue the philosophies all you want. You can try to go down every other rabbit hole if you will, but I believe there is a God tonight. Amen. And if you're going to seek God and if you're going to see anything come from God, you better start there, brother. Amen. I believe in a God. I believe in an almighty power. Amen. And that he is a rewarder, he said, of them that diligently seek him. Now you can't see or hear or feel God with your natural senses. Amen. Pastor mentioned it this morning. Probably very few have had a vision and saw the heavenlies. Amen. Probably even fewer have actually heard a voice from heaven speak to you in an audible voice. I'm not saying he can't do that. Maybe he has. Amen. But God is a spirit and the carnal mind says this. They say, well, you know what? I go forward and he's not there. Just like Job said. He said, I go backwards and I don't perceive him. I don't see him back there anywhere. On the left hand where he just worked, I don't behold him. And he hides himself on the right. I don't see him. And some people have that kind of attitude and say, well, I don't see God, so I don't believe in it. I can't touch it with my hands. I can't see it with my eyes. I don't hear it with my ears. And so therefore, I don't know about all that stuff you believe. See, you don't understand the worship. You don't perceive that God is in this place. I want to tell you, open your eyes tonight. Amen. Look beyond what you see in the natural and realize there is an almighty God and there is a presence in this place. Amen. His word declares, if there's two or three and they're gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. That gives me a confidence God is in this place. You can look any other way and try to figure it out any other way, but the word said he's here. Amen. The word said he is here. Believe that he is. Believe that he's here. Believe that he is a rewarder if you will seek him. You see, there is more to this life than the physical. Paul said this way, he told those on Mars here, he said, seek the Lord, if haply you might feel after him and find him. He's not far from every one of us. He said, in him we live, we move, we have our being. They were looking around and said, all I see, Paul, is Mars Hill, and I see all our gods and idols we got around us. I see you talking about God, and you're saying we're living and moving, and he's all around us. I don't see it, Paul. And they looked at him and they kind of laughed him to scorn. You know what? They missed it because their eyes were blinded. Can I say, open your eyes to the reality of God and what he wants to do in your life? You see, Satan's a master of blinding eyes. That's his job. That's his duty. In Eden, man's eyes were open to the spiritual. They walked in the garden. They had communion with God. He would come in the cool of the day and he would commune with them. He would see the provisions of God. They saw the things of God. Somehow Satan convinced Eve that if she partook of the fruit, here's what he said, then your eyes shall be open. Wait a minute, they already were open. They already saw God. They already had the opportunity to commune with him. He said, but your eyes will be open. You shall be of gods, as gods. You will know good and evil. I always find that phrase real interesting. They already knew good, so really all he was saying is, guess what? You take of this fruit, you'll get to see what evil is. Think about that one. Bible says this, and we know it's true. Indeed, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. Now, here's the thing. Their eyes weren't open to the things of God. Their eyes were opened, of course, but it was an opening to the carnal, and it was an opening to sin, and it was an opening to the base elements of this world. Yeah, they found out what evil was. They found out what disobedience was. They found out what sin was. And with the opening of their eyes to sinfulness, there came a blinding of their eyes to the workings of God. No longer was that communion with God was there, and he was separated from God's presence. And it was and it is Satan's main objective to keep man blinded. If he could do anything tonight, he would love for you to walk out and say, well, they said God was in this place, but I didn't feel it. They said God was in this place, but I didn't see it. They said God was there, but I didn't get anything. Amen. That's what Satan desires. But I want to preach to you that there is a light that will shine in your life. If you will look to Jesus as the light of the world, it will shine in darkness, and that darkness cannot pull it down. Amen. Why? Because here's what the Bible tells us. Paul told us in Corinthians, he said this, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. Satan is still blinding eyes. And if Satan can keep us blinded, he can keep us from serving God. If he can keep us blinded, he can keep us from getting everything that God wants to give us in this life. If he can keep us blinded, he can keep us living way below where God wants us to be. You know, if we could really understand, I believe, the implications of a life of sin, knowing the wages of sin is death, and knowing that death will ultimately bring hell, and if we also would really understand what it means to live for God, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, which will also take us to heaven, I believe if we really comprehended that, we would serve God with everything we have. But see, the carnal man doesn't see this. Here's what he sees. He sees rules. Well, if I join that church, they're going to say I can't do this and I can't do that. He sees limits on his ungodly lifestyle. Well, if I do that, I'm going to have to give up this. He doesn't see the liberty in the Holy Ghost. He doesn't see the miraculous provision that is available. He doesn't see righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because our eyes are blinded. And if there's any prayer you ought to be praying, in fact, this would be a good assignment for this week as we go into prayer and fasting. If there's any prayer you ought to be praying for the lost is this. Lord, open their blinded eyes. Open their blinded eyes. It isn't that they're bad people. It's not that they're ranked sinners and different than everybody else. It is that Satan has blinded their eyes. And if God could just open their eyes, if they could just get a glimpse of what God has for them, everything would change in their life. Amen. In fact, Paul said it that way. He said, he's blinded their eyes lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Because if once they get a glimpse of the light, it will change everything in their life. If there's any prayer, we ought to be this. You see, we have to understand this is a spiritual battle, isn't it? It's not a physical matter. It's a spiritual matter. And there are some things that are only spiritually discerned. The Bible says this, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So they don't understand. And that's not pointing a finger. That's not a bad thing. They need their eyes opened. They need someone to pray, Lord, open the blinded eyes. Can I even take it a step further? You can witness all you want and you can talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, but unless the Spirit does a work, the results aren't going to follow. That's why we have times like this week. It's because we need to take time in prayer and fasting. And as we seek God and as we seek after Him, that opens the door to the spirit world and allows God to work and allows blind eyes to be open and allows chains to be broken and allows people to be delivered. You see, you can sing and preach and witness and play an instrument or do anything else for God, but without that intangible, unseen power of the Spirit, nothing eternal is going to be accomplished. You can get up and preach and you can do anything you want, but without the Holy Ghost behind us, what good is it? In fact, Paul looked at him and said, are you so foolish? You began in the Spirit. Why do you want to finish in the flesh? If He filled you with the Holy Ghost, don't just leave it on the shelf and try to do it on your own. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Let it work. It's time we opened our blinded eyes. And if it's true for the lost that they need their eyes open, I believe it holds true for each and every one of us tonight. It's Satan's greatest desire to keep the church blinded to what God wants to do in your life and in this church. Isaiah chapter 42, this is the portion of scripture that Jesus was referring to when he talked about the parables. And it says this in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thy hand, I will keep thee, and I will give thee for a covenant for the people, for a light to the Gentiles. Why? To open blind eyes, to bring prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And God has called each and every one of us. He is our light. He has come to open our eyes. And I believe He wants to release someone from a prison of darkness tonight. A prison, a limit. Amen. We're a chosen generation, Peter said. We are a royal priesthood. We're an holy nation, a peculiar people, that we would show forth the praises of Him that brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And God wants to lead us tonight out of a prison of darkness. I said, God wants to lead someone tonight out of a prison of darkness. Your eyes have been blinded, maybe by life circumstance. I don't know what it's about. Maybe it's a darkness of sickness that's come over you. And you say, Lord, I don't know if I'm ever going to be healed. Maybe it's a darkness of a habit you've picked up that you're trying to get victory over of. Maybe it's a darkness of limiting God. You just say, well, Lord, I just don't know if you can take care of that. Or a darkness of a powerless life. Every time I try to live for you, I fail. Or a darkness of depression. Or maybe even a darkness of sin or whatever happens it happens to be. Can I tell you, He wants His light to shine in your life tonight. He wants to open your eyes to the possibility of what He can do for you. He wants to deliver. He wants to bring you out. He said in verse 16, He said, I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and I will crooked things I will make straight. He's going to lead the blind in a new way. He's going to take them down a path that they have not known. You may have thought you're heading down one path, and God said, you know what? I've got something else for you. You may have head down one path, and you're saying, I've got this all figured out. I've got this. And God said, you know what? I'm going to take you down a path you haven't known. I'm going to take you down somewhere. I'm going to open something up that you've never even thought about. We plot and we plan, we line it up, map it out, we calculate it and formulate it, we get it all ready, and God said, you know what, I'm just going to turn all that upside down. I got something else for you to do. Oh, that He would open our eyes to where God wants to lead us. Oh, that He would say, you know what, why don't you put it in my hands? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you believe what I want to do in your life? Why don't you forget only the things you can feel and see and the things that you can plan out and calculate and put it on a sheet and say, okay, here's the plan for my life. God bless it. He says, okay, come this way. Open your eyes, Joseph. It might look like a pit. It might look like a prison. It might look like you're running from Potiphar's wife. But when it's all said and done, he said, well, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to you to good. And you might look at your life and say, I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand the path that is leading down. I don't understand where God has taken me. Amen. And it looks like evil and it looks like bad things and it looks like this and it looks like that. But he said, you know what? Just hold on. I've got something for you. Amen. Well, you're going to look back one of these days and say, wow, look what God did in my life. He longs to lead you down a path of ministry, a path of power, a path of anointing, a path of victory. He wants to make darkness light before you. That problem that you have, that thing that you're facing is going to be changed into a great victory if you believe and if you'll open your eyes. You see, the crooked things, he said, are going to be made straight. The crooked things, the things that we just can't figure it out, the fleshly limitations we placed on our experience can be removed. Well, God, I'll never be like they are. I'll never sing like she does. I'll never witness like he does. I'll never preach like he does. I can't overcome this addiction like he did. And I can't solve this problem like she did. And I won't be healed like they were. And I can't live for God like they do. And those are all crooked paths. Those are all our own carnal thinking, trying to figure it out. How am I going to do it? How's it going to work out? Put it in God's hands. Open your eyes to what God wants to do. Don't let the enemy blind you to the liberty that God has planned for your life. Look ye blind, he said, that ye may see. You're seeing many things, but you observe not. He said, you see it, but you're not getting it. You've come into this place tonight. You've seen many things. You've seen people touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. People speaking in tongues. People giving messages. People giving interpretation. The Spirit of God moving, touching lives. And you're saying, well, I don't know. Seeing and they see not. You know what he said about those people? He said that's a people that is robbed and spoiled and they're snared in holes and they're hid in prison houses for they are a prey and there's none to deliver. Why? Because they're not seeing what God wants to see. And God said, my servant is blind, seeing many things but comprehending it not. Can I ask you this? How many healings have you seen? How many times have you seen someone delivered from sin? How many testimonies have you heard of somebody who said, I was so close to just losing everything and losing out or taking my life or lost in sin with an addiction and a habit and God turned it all around? How many miracles have you heard where it looked like an impossible situation and God worked it all out? How many doors has he opened where you bumped up against it and said, I'm never going to see how God's going to do it, and suddenly he does it? And we've seen it, and we've heard it, and we've touched it, and we've seen, and yet we say, I don't know. Seen, and we see not. Yet for all we have seen, we remain blind to God's power in my situation. No wonder he said, you're robbed and you're spoiled. Don't let Satan rob you tonight. Don't let him spoil your house. Open your eyes to what God wants to do. Many things that God has chosen to reveal to us. There's so many things in his word that he tells us about. There are so many things that we can read and say, wow. And he opens great understanding as you look at his word and say, well, I see how God's going to do it. You know what? There's some things God's not going to reveal to us. There's some things you're not going to know. There are going to be questions that we're left with and we never get the answer to. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. Just doesn't quite look right. Can't quite see, can't make it out. We don't always know the why, what we go through, what we do. I always think of Job. Job didn't see what was going on up in heaven. We read it. That's how the book starts. There was a day the sons of men came, the sons of God, and they came and presented themselves before the Lord. And they said, God looks over at Satan. He says, hey, do you consider Job? Job didn't sit there and say, what's he doing up there? He knew nothing about it. He didn't know what was going on. But here's what he did see. He saw the tangible. He saw the Sabians stole all his oxen. He saw fire that fell down and consumed all his flocks. He heard that the Chaldeans had came and stolen all his camels. He saw the wind that come and destroyed his house that his children were in and they're all dead. And he looked down and he saw boils that covered his body. The tangible. The physical. The things that he could see, the situation he lived in, the things all around him. And like Job, that's sometimes all we see. We look and there are problems and there are circumstances and we see our sickness and we see our need. You know, sometimes we're like this to our problem. And when you're like this to your problem, that's all you can see. And everywhere you look, I can see my problem. And no matter where I go, I see my problem. But sometimes we just need to get away and look up and say, you know what? That problem doesn't look so significant anymore. When I'm right there, it's my whole vision. But when I'm way back here, I can't even read it. I can't see it. And here's what I know. Job may not have seen the heavenly challenge, but what he did see caused him to say this. For I know. You need to get an I know in your spirit. Something that says, you know what, I see what's around me and I don't know how the answers are going to come, but there are some things I do know. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he's going to stand on the latter day. And I know, although I'm going through the problem, and I know the skin worms are destroying, and I know I don't understand what all's happening in my life, yet, in my flesh, I'm going to see my God. And I'm going to see him for myself. And my eyes are going to behold and not somebody else's. He said, you know what? My blinded eyes are going to be open. They're not open right now and I don't comprehend it and I don't know what's going on. But God, one of these days I'm going to see. One of these days it's going to be there. Our Redeemer lives tonight. Open your eyes to the answer that God has for you. Daniel didn't see it either. He sought God for answers. He saw great and terrible visions, some that made him so sick he fell down weak and almost sick. Didn't know what to do because of the things that he saw in the spirit. And he cried out to God and he said, Lord, I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't understand what I'm seeing. I can't comprehend the things that you're trying to show me. I need you to explain this to me, God. What's going on? And he begins to pray and seek God and fast and say, Lord, help me out here. I need to know this. And for 21 days, he heard absolutely nothing. For 21 days, he's crying and praying and calling out to God and fasting and getting hungry and everything else, kind of like we're going to do this week, and not getting an answer. And finally, the angel comes, and here's what he says. Daniel, from the very first time and the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten, therefore, thyself before God, your words were heard. Can I tell you tonight, he's hearing you. You may not see an answer yet. You may not hear it. You may not comprehend it. You don't know where it's coming from, but he hears your cry. I said, he hears your cry. You may not see it yet. He said, you set your ears to do it. Your words were heard, and I am come to you for thy word. But, sorry, Daniel, there was a prince of Persia. He withstood me 21 days. There was a battle going up. You didn't see it, but it was happening in heaven. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes had to come and help me out. Here's the thing. What Daniel did have was a spiritual eyesight that understood, you know what? If I keep seeking, if I keep knocking, if I keep looking, God is going to answer. Day one, I didn't get it. Still going to pray. Day two, no answer. I'm still going to seek God. Day three, that's okay. I'm going to keep fasting. Day four, I'm not giving up. Day five, day seven. Day 11, 12, day 15, half a month's gone. I'm still believing God. I'm still, day 21, whew, been 3 weeks now and God hasn't answered me yet. What's going on? Prayers are getting this high. No, they're not. They've already gotten through. You don't see what's going on. Now here's what else I know. God could have just said, you know what, get out of the way, Satan. I'm giving him his answer right now. But instead, he just let things play out up there. And that's his, he's sovereign. He does what he wants to do, right? But it did not deter Daniel's faith. Why? The spiritual warfare is not ours to speculate. But what we can say with confidence, the answer's on its way. This I know. Amen? The answer's on his way. If I seek God, he's going to answer. If I believe him, he's going to open the blind eyes. If I believe him, he is going to work the work that needs done. It's time we opened our eyes to the authority God has given us, church. It's time we open our eyes, just know just who we are in Christ. Amen. You look around you and say, well, just brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, it's just us here together. You know what? You're a child of God. And there is power, wonder-working power in God, and he has put it in his church. The 70 returned after Jesus sent them out, and you know what? They were rejoicing. Why? They said, you know what? Even the devils are subject to us. We went out and we prayed and blind eyes are open and deaf ears are unstopped and people are being healed and the lame are walking. All these things are going on. And even the devils, we just cast them out. And they were all excited about that. Why? Because of the power of the name of Jesus. Can I say, open your eyes to the power of Jesus' name? Think about that for 1 minute. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. They were just acting on what God told them to do. You just go in Jesus' name and things are going to happen. And they went in Jesus' name and things began to happen. How much more, child of God, that is filled with the Holy Ghost, you've had your sins washed away in Jesus' name, you've taken on His name in baptism, and you rise to walk in a newness of life, He's filled you with His Spirit. How much more can God do in your life? Open your eyes to the authority of His name. Open your eyes to the power that is in the Word of God. Open your eyes to the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse every sin. Open your eyes to the power of prayer and fasting and seeking God. God's church is not dead. God's people aren't dead. It's not a powerless assembly of so-called believers that just get together and have a good time and say, well, I worship God. Writer of Hebrews said it this way. He said, you're come unto Mount Zion. It's a city of the living God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. It's an innumerable company of angels. It's a general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. You're coming to God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. Whew. There's enough there to take care of every problem you have. What he is saying is open your eyes to where you're at in Christ Jesus. You have a God. We have an army of angels. Well, I don't see them. They're there. Open your eyes. You may never physically see them walking around. Amen. But open your eyes in faith and say, you know what? They're here tonight. They're ministering tonight. They're working tonight. Amen. I got a need and God sent a messenger down. Amen. And he's going to take care of it. Why? Because he said so in his word. Not only do we have an innumerable company of angels, he said this, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. You've got brothers and sisters of like-minded faith that believe that God can work in your situation. Why do we say reach over and pray with somebody? It isn't just because, well, it's something good to do. It makes us all feel good. There's power when we agree together. There's power when we say, you know what? I'll pray with you about that situation. And when somebody tells you that, never take that lightly and say, well, yeah, you go ahead. He said, this is what we're come to. Open your eyes to what's going on. He said, we have the witness of the many that have gone before us, the spirits of just men made perfect, people that have lived for God, and because they did it, I can too. And because that one made it, you can make it. And because those three did, we can. Have faith in God. Have faith in what is it? He said, we have the many witnesses of those that have gone before. We have the power that is in the blood of Jesus. It still works, church. We still believe there is no power greater to wash away sins. Amen. It has never lost its power. It is still able to do the work. And we have Jesus. He said, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Get a hold of what we've got. Get a hold of what God has placed in your life. Can I ask you, what do you lack? You've got God. Got an innumerable company of angels. You've got your brothers and sisters in church. You've got the witness of all those that have gone before you. You've got the blood of Jesus, which helps us overcome all things. You've got Jesus himself working on your behalf. He's your advocate that is there. What more do we need? Peter said it this way, according as his divine power have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What he's saying is there's nothing you lack. You look at your life and say, well, I don't know if God can work it out. I don't know if I can be that. I don't know if I can live for God. I don't know if I can make it through this trial. I don't know. Yes, you can. He's given you all things. He's put it in your hand. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. But by these you can be a partaker of the divine nature. And he's put it in your hand tonight. Open your eyes to the keeping power of God. Can I tell you, child of God, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live wondering, well, God, I just don't know. David said the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him, and he delivers them. Well, I look at my situation, I just don't know. I'm living in fear. Don't worry about it. He's got it in his hand. The angels are there to help you out. Moses sang the song. He said, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, the arrow that flies by the day, the pestilence that walks in darkness, the destruction that wastes at noonday. He's going to give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. Perhaps the best known story of spiritual vision is that of Elisha and his servant. King of Syria was trying to attack Israel, and every time he would try to attack, God would speak to Elisha and he'd say, hey, Israel, king of Israel, they're going to attack over here. Israel would be prepared for it. Next day, king of Syria said, well, that didn't work. Let's go over here. We'll attack them over here. They're coming this way. And after a time, the king of Syria said, all right, we got a spy somewhere. Somebody's telling. Who's letting them know? Who's giving them the secret? How do they know our battle plans? They said, well, there's no spies. They got a prophet. They got somebody in tune with God, and he tells them everything that you whisper in your bedchambers. He knows. Well, where's he at? Isn't that the funniest part of the story? It is for me. Elisha knows every time the Syrians are going to attack and where they're going to be, and he said, well, let's go get him. Do you think Elijah was sitting at home saying, wonder what's going to happen today? He probably woke up and thought, well, the Syrians are on their way. He could have run and hid. He could have just stayed a step ahead of them. They'd have never found him. But he said, let's just wait it out. Here they come. Elisha's in the house. I don't know what he's doing, having his morning coffee. And servant gets out. Go get the mail. Walks out and he goes, whoa. Elisha, we got a problem. What's going on? He said, there's horses, there's chariots, there's a great host. They compassed the city. When he has risen early, he went forth and they compassed it. And his servant, alas, master. Elisha, what are we going to do? As the King James says, how shall we do? Elisha just looks, oh, don't worry about that. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than be with them. There's me, and there's you. There's you, and there's me. And there's a whole bunch of them. And Elijah looks at him, and he says, and Elijah prayed, said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God may not open your eyes to see that way, but he can open your eyes of faith tonight to say, you know what? I've got this. I've got you covered. We must not let anything blind us tonight. We must not let the things of this life to become so important that we can't see the things of God. We've got to look beyond the tangible circumstances that we face and realize that there's a God that is in control. The old chorus said it this way, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And when you do, the things of this world grow strangely dim. Why? Because we open our eyes to what God can do and what God will do in our lives. Let's stand tonight. Pastor talked this morning, preached this morning about faith. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Talk about Enoch that was not. God took him. We didn't understand how that all happened. You can't comprehend it. You can't figure it all out. But here's what we know. If you open your eyes to what God can do, God will do wonders for you. I don't know what situations you've brought in. I don't know what problem has looked so big for so long that you never see an answer. But I want to encourage you tonight, in faith, open your blinded eyes. One more verse, Revelation chapter 3, the church of the last days. It's a church called the Laodicean church. You've heard this many times. But they were a church that looked up around them and they said, you know what, I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing. Kind of sounds like America, doesn't it? The American church. We've got it, you know. We hear stories about churches 100 years ago. We hear stories about the struggles they went through to build a church. We hear stories about how tough it was for people that were evangelizing and couldn't afford tires on their cars and would drive on bald ones for thousands of miles, God keeping them. And yet we sit back and we're so blessed. And he said, I'm rich and I'm increased with goods. We have need of nothing. We in America are so blessed. We live better than any people who live throughout. And I'm not pointing a finger at that. But here's the thing. Don't let the blessings that God has given us blind us to what God wants to do. And the Spirit had to look at the church of Laodicea and he said, you know what? What you don't understand, you think everything is just fine because of all the blessings that are there. But you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. Because you're looking at the tangible and the physical and you're saying it's all okay. But you need to look down here. He said, and here's what you need to do. Anoint your eyes that you may see. Open your blinded eyes. Look to see what God can do in your life. Can I ask you, have you caught a little glimpse tonight? Have there been a little spring up of faith in your heart that says, you know what? Yeah, God is with me. The angels are there. The situation I'm facing, I don't understand it, but God's going to work it out. If that's happening in your life, and maybe it's not even there, maybe you're seeing it a little bit, amen, I want you to begin to come down to this altar and say, Lord, open my eyes. I think of the person that Jesus reached out and he healed, and he said, what do you see? And he said, well, I see men, but they look like trees walking around. And Jesus said, well, that's a good start. Let's pray again. And he prayed for him again, and God opened his eyes, and he was able to see clearly. Maybe you're looking, and you're starting to see a little bit and say, well, maybe God can work out my situation. Maybe the thing I'm facing could possibly, maybe just might happen. And he's wanting you to get to the point where you say, it's going to, because God's going to work it out for me. That's it. Why don't you come in faith right now? Amen. Let him open your eyes. Hallelujah to what he wants to do. Let him open your eyes to that ministry that he has for you. Let him open your eyes to that neighbor that you're going to reach. Let him open your eyes to that family member that he's going to save. Let him open your eyes to that sickness that is going to be healed. That's it. Come and seek him right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's believe it. Let's reach out in faith. Hallelujah. Take that next step from where we took earlier when we came forward. Lord, you're going to do it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.